Welcome to the Special Bulletin Review, an enterprise cloud conversation sponsored by Oracle. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
With operations of one sort or another in practically every country, the State Department has a strong case for widening its use of cloud computing. For details of state's cloud strategy, I spoke with its director of cloud programs, Brian Merrick.
The cloud office fits within our central IT organization, the Bureau for Information Resource Management. And our mission is to provide, enterprise-grade products and cloud platforms to the entire State Department. So basically, we support the overseas community as well as our domestic partners.
And maybe give us a sense of the overall State Department computing environment. I know that's a big task, a big thing to talk about, but so we can see where cloud, when we get to the details of the strategy, where this all fits into the architecture.
Sure. So as you can imagine, we're fairly dispersed global organization. So we have 275 posts and missions overseas, 50 domestic locations. We've got 30-some domestic bureaus, so a multitude of different business drivers, risk tolerances, organizational cultures, functional areas, and business needs that we need to address. Everything from highly secure activities down to public diplomacy. So across that spectrum, we've decided to adopt more of a multi-cloud approach so that we can satisfy those needs with the best tools possible.
And I would think with all of those overseas missions, and of course, it's the State Department. They're in practically every country in some form or another, maybe not North Korea, but cloud computing, since it is a global phenomenon, would seem to be a much more efficient way of serving all of those locations than building data centers everywhere.
Yeah, it certainly is. As you can imagine, I mean, it's really not cost effective to manage that over time and at scale. And so what we've really done is kind of focused on moving a lot of our collaborative capabilities into the cloud first. So we've had everyone and, all their email in the cloud for a couple of years now. And really, we focused on those real-time collaboration and data consumption needs first. And then over time, we're moving, down the stack into the more the back office functions as, some of those systems become aged and costly. So we're really adopting that cloud smart approach of trying to focus our resources on those types of business outcomes and activities that make the best use of the cloud and we can get the most value immediately from. And then, as I said, over time, we'll see a lot more continue to move into that space.
Yeah, maybe tell us a little bit more about the decision tree or the decision-making process for prioritizing what does move to the cloud, and maybe a little bit about who's involved in that kind of decision-making.
Right. So largely the business owners make those decisions at a granular level when we start talking about the application side, the application layer of their activities. And, as you can imagine, with the dispersed nature of our franchise type of organization, or I should say federated, what we've really focused on is enabling our business owners to make informed decisions based on those applications and workloads that take best use of the cloud. So, for instance, if there are activities that might scale certain times of the year, especially those that involve large interactions with the public, especially overseas, then those types of activities get prioritized, for cloud usage. Oftentimes, we'll hybrid approaches as well so that we can take advantage of some of that on-prem data that we have, especially if we're going to be sharing it to other agencies, to other parts of the department. So it definitely helps us avoid some of those proprietary data indexing issues we can run into in some cloud environments, but still allows us to take full advantage of the compute power of the cloud as we do that. So it really is sort of a case-by-case basis based on, what business needs are best satisfied by utilizing the cloud.
And is there this application rationalization process that also goes on with this? Because a lot of organizations find, let's clean house before we move the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. And what we found is, there was this initial push, a few years ago to just lift and shift things, with cloud first, just get it in the cloud. And that really did not work well. And people found that the cloud is not necessarily it's not necessarily cost effective if you haven't optimized your application layer to operate there and really haven't thought about, you know, how you've architected your solutions. So yeah, definitely. I mean, it's one of those pieces where over time folks have gone in and said, okay, let's say I'm a business owner and I've got, you know, 30 different applications. What can I combine? What can I put into a SaaS platform? Where do I need to keep my data on-prem for, say, sharing purposes or whatnot? You know, when do I want to move my back office functions into the cloud? And so often we really haven't seen a lot of full-blown one-for-one cloud migration. It usually is an effect of reimagining the business based on the art of the possible that technology provides. So oftentimes, you know, we see our customers go in and really take advantage of multiple different platforms that we provide for them so that they can optimize their workloads. And at the end of the day, they've ended up changing a large part of their application footprint in doing so and really sort of reimagine their business.
So application performance then becomes a factor too that you can maybe build on it as you move an application or reimagine an application in the cloud?
Definitely. I mean, performance is critical, especially in an overseas environment. And, you know, obviously, you know, the commercial space continues to improve in those areas, but definitely something that is important when we're talking about real-time collaboration and that sort of thing. So for instance, we have a customer that has a complex hybrid solution that we're helping support a piece of it on the platform side where, you know, they'll be in an austere environment to collect data from foreign citizens outside of connectivity, you know, with no internet connection, you know, on their devices. As soon as they can upload, once they hit, you know, internet connectivity, they can upload that data and move it into our platform for processing. And then a lot of that data will be moved off to other platforms for sharing and analytics purposes. So we're seeing a lot of those more complex sort of arrangements to sort of work through a lot of those connectivity and performance issues and some tough to reach spots. So it's definitely an evolving space.
In some ways, you share similar challenges technologically as the Defense Department.
We certainly do. And, you know, we certainly have the same range of data classification and security type issues. And it is a challenge. I think probably the one of the bigger differences is just that we're in so many different places overseas. And, you know, it does create a lot of connectivity challenges because if the underlying infrastructure in a country just simply, you know, isn't capable of sustaining the level of connectivity we need, it's very difficult. So, you know, there are limitations on that because we have to cover so many bases. We're constantly looking for solutions that are lighter, faster, you know, things that can provide more edge processing so that we don't, you know, run into as many of those core issues. But it's definitely a similar challenge.
Brian Merrick is Director of Cloud Programs at the State Department. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
The opportunity for the public sector and technology industry to work together has never been greater. Join Oracle's One Federal Monthly webcast series for a front row seat to learn how your federal peers and industry leaders are delivering practical, innovative solutions for today's evolving challenges. You'll learn firsthand how Oracle and its partners are changing the way industries do business, starting with an enterprise cloud without compromise. Register now for Oracle One Federal at oracle.com/onefederal.
Welcome back to our interview with Brian Merrick, Director of Cloud Programs at the State Department. We've been talking about state's approach to offloading much of its computing to commercial cloud services providers.
There are a whole host of outreach activities through public diplomacy that leverage you know, mobile applications, social media platforms, web platforms, et cetera. So, you know, a whole host of that's been going on for several years, and that really gets at, you know, the need to have a disparate approach to the application layer so that they can really capture, you know, those different audiences' attention in different ways. You know, so for instance, I mean, you know, they need the ability to alter the facing of some of their core applications so that it appeals to different cultures overseas, but they still need the data to come back in one, you know, cohesive way. So, you know, what we're finding especially is that the cloud allows them better ability to do that at scale, especially on the web properties that they have. So, you know, there's a lot of that happens. And, you know, they interact with millions of customers every day in the public. So it's a large footprint. And I think that as things move forward, we're going to see a lot more use of tailorable technologies like that, especially as we start getting into more of the analytics sides behind it, because they're also trying to figure out, well, okay, did that approach work? Was it successful? How do I better reach folks I'm trying to communicate with, you know, in terms of the usability and design of these, the facing of these properties? So it really is a major issue. They've got whole groups that work through that. So I think we'll see more of that in the future.
And in working through all of these application issues for many organizations, they have found that leads to data discoveries. That is, what mm-hmm. is it going on with my data, the size of the data, the variety of the data that I have? So maybe talk about the data implications that have been uncovered as you look at applications for the cloud.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's been a huge, I think, I wouldn't say a revelation, but you know, everyone always knew that was there. But when we started our response to COVID this last year, it really brought into focus quickly the need to have better tools that the cloud was able to provide to capture data that then could be brought in for decision support for senior leaders that needed to make very, very important decisions very quickly. You know, and it just simply did not have the time to go through, you know, the normal sort of channels and procedures and long narrative drafts of operational reporting. And so in that respect, we were able to design applications that, you know, with basically referred back to our master reference data tables so that we could have large amounts of clean data brought in quickly. And then when it went to the analytics piece, we were able to show that, you know, the power that this data has. And so, you know, a lot of questions that senior management had around things like medical readiness for staff functions, repatriation flights for Americans coming back to the U.S., so a whole multitude of different business drivers. You know, this technology really allowed us to bring quickly into focus the answers to questions that leaders had so that they could make proper decisions in a way that we weren't really able to do in the same amount of time before without leveraging this technology so heavily. So I think it really has, you know, changed the dynamic in terms of leadership's understanding of the art of the possible with data and how important it is.
And what about legacy applications? Because very often agencies find that there is a lot of rich data that is generated by those applications. They could be database applications, for example. Even though the code and the logic may not work very well to upload to the cloud, there's still value in the data. Have you found that to be the case? And what's your process for sorting that all out?
Yeah, so in some respects, yes, it really depends on, this may sound counterintuitive, but it often seems to depend on the facing of the application that actually generates that data. And so when we have systems that have grown up over time where there are a lot of free text entries that aren't necessarily referencing consistent data elements with, say, dropdowns, we end up with a very, very difficult time on the analytics side rationalizing all those data elements. Because as you can imagine, there could be 15 different ways to refer to a specific post location, you know, depending on abbreviation or, you know, a whole host of different ways to do that. So it definitely takes a lot more time to rationalize that data and then make use of it. What we found is that the best way is to reimagine how you're taking in that data to make sure you're actually asking the questions you think you are, because oftentimes there are also data definition and data conversion issues in those legacy systems that may not be well documented, that aren't always clear. So, for instance, there could be a system that collects one specific data field and another system next to it doesn't, but they're all addressing similar programmatic data collection requirements. Well, it's really difficult to rationalize those data sets when you don't have a complete picture. So yeah, there is some value depending on really how the data capture is architected. And obviously, the more that it's aligned with the type of data you're actually trying to get at and the questions you're trying to answer, the more efficacy you have in that data.
Sure, which gets back to the question of analytics, which you mentioned earlier. And how does cloud enable more analytics, and what kinds of data analytics programs do you contemplate that might be enabled by having these cloud capabilities?
Yeah, so we actually have a chief data officer now, which is great. And a couple years ago, the department stood up a complete data analytics group to really start taking advantage of those opportunities. And I think some of the biggest benefit is that you can now more easily break down those sort of data ownership silos that made it more difficult organizationally to get at those different data elements and then be able to analyze larger amounts of that data. You know, I think that, like I say, there are still challenges if you don't have large amounts of clean data. And so the quality of the data really drives the quality of analysis, obviously. And so I think as we see a lot more of this activity going on, the better the data, the better they're able to analyze those answers. But definitely the folks that have been able to come up with the more clear definition of the business question they were trying to answer with the data, those activities have been a lot more successful. So definitely, you know, understanding exactly what is the business question we're trying to answer with this data, you know, do we have large amounts of clean data, and then do we have the analytics tools in the cloud environments to pull that data in and be able to process it in a timely way? That's really proven successful. So we're definitely making huge strides in that, and it's moving forward well. And, you know, just every time, you know, there's a question that gets answered, it just creates, you know, more questions and more problems to solve. So it's a great progressive activity.
Brian Merrick is Director of Cloud Programs at the State Department. We'll return with the third and final segment of this interview after the short break. I'm Tom Temin.
The opportunity for the public sector and technology industry to work together has never been greater. Join Oracle's One Federal Monthly webcast series for a front-row seat to learn how your federal peers and industry leaders are delivering practical, innovative solutions for today's evolving challenges. You'll learn firsthand how Oracle and its partners are changing the way industries do business, starting with an enterprise cloud without compromise. Register now for Oracle One Federal at oracle.com/onefederal.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Brian Merrick, Director of Cloud Programs at the State Department, as we discuss state's computing strategy.
We are fully down the path of a multi-cloud, public cloud strategy. So we are being purposely duplicative in terms of the types of platforms that we use for a couple different reasons. One, you know, we want to reduce the risk of vendor lock-in. Two, we want to be able to take advantage of new upgrades and functionality and capabilities that different providers roll out in different timeframes. And three, we want to make sure that, you know, we can find the right tool for the job. And sometimes there are slight nuances between different cloud platforms. And we have such a wide breadth of business requirements that, you know, we want to make sure that we can meet those without having to spend a large amount of money to customize capabilities when we could buy them. That being said, you know, we don't want to have so many that we can't sustain it. So we've settled on most of the larger providers. We also make sure that we use FedRAMP compliant platforms as well. And I think the overall strategy really can be boiled down to that we're trying to minimize the number of different platform instances that the enterprise is using. We really want our customers to settle on our enterprise platforms, but we then want to be able to empower tailored application activity based on those individual business needs at that business layer. So, you know, lots of applications on fewer platforms, and that's where we really see the cost savings in terms of support and labor costs, and while still being able to meet a multitude of disparate business outcomes and business needs.
And how does the cloud landscape in the United States, we all know the major vendors and some of the minor ones also, how does that map over to other parts of the world? Do they have offerings there, or have you found that you might need to use local cloud providers that probably don't operate in the United States?
Yeah, so we only use, like I said, FedRAMP compliant providers for our enterprise solutions. You know, obviously, from a risk standpoint, you know, we obviously still have to meet the same requirements for securing government data, you know, meeting FISMA and FedRAMP requirements. So that we don't use foreign carriers, or I should say foreign cloud providers from a tool standpoint. That just isn't something that we do based on risk. So we haven't really run into that piece. I don't know that there would be a lot of utility in it, to tell you the truth. I think it would be much too complex to manage, you know, from a sustainability standpoint.
Sure. But do the major cloud providers have instances in Europe, say in Africa, in Asia, such that you can have nearby hosting to reduce latency and the network effect?
Yeah, so they all do. However, it's a large cost to basically, we would have to get an authority to operate in those environments. So there's one provider that has their overseas backbone already FedRAMP compliant. So that's one where we would be targeting more of those overseas workloads. We have direct connects to get to some of the other environments. Ultimately, what we see happening over time is moving to more of a peering solution so that we can bring our workloads up to the cloud and cross-connect those within our boundary. And that, you know, reduces some of the TIC requirements, the trusted internet connection monitoring requirements, as we'd be striving to keep our workloads within our security boundary as much as possible. So that's still a very rapidly evolving space. But there are a lot of cost and a lot of change management involved in that. So we're kind of taking those pieces on incrementally.
Yeah, so in some ways, a particular location that is in a safe area that has a good solid connection to a good solid FedRAMP could be almost the broker for other locations that have less connectivity or less availability of FedRAMP clouds.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to, you know, the internet penetration and capability. And then also, as we move more into the overseas environment with cloud, we'll be doing a lot more encryption, and we already are doing encryption, but a lot more key management just to reduce our security risk. So, you know, a lot more of that is continuing to evolve in the space, as we bring more workloads into the cloud that have an overseas penetration.
And do you use your own direct negotiations with cloud providers, or do you go through some of the government-wide acquisition contracts?
No, just like every other government agency, we follow the federal acquisition regulation and all the preferred sources of supply. So, we generally try to leverage GWACs, government-wide contracts as much as possible whenever we're, procuring any type of cloud services. And, we use the normal government acquisition process for that.
And I guess we should say explicitly, you do have a hybrid strategy in the sense that there will always be some degree of data center management and maintenance by state?
I mean, I don't know that I would ever say always or never. I think that, for now, obviously it makes sense. As long as that approach makes business sense, then we would continue to do it. If it no longer made business sense, then we wouldn't. And, I think things are going to shift over time as we see more disruption in the market with new technologies emerging and different cost models and different cost bases. Obviously there'll come a point at some point in time when, the cost of managing on-prem environments may not be, something that we'd want to do. I could see that happening at some point in time. So it'll really be based on, I think, a business decision, really based on mostly on cost and sustainability and capability. We'll drive those decisions more than, any sort of security policy piece. Because frankly, the security side on the cloud has really continued to improve exponentially, and I think it will continue to improve in the future as, more of the world moves to native cloud functionality. So we'll just have to see, at what point those business drivers align, and that may trigger a series of different decisions in the future.
Brian Merrick, Director of Cloud Programs at the State Department. To hear this interview in its entirety or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to the Special Bulletin Review, an enterprise cloud conversation sponsored by Oracle on Federal News Network.
The opportunity for the public sector and technology industry to work together has never been greater. Join Oracle's One Federal Monthly webcast series for a front row seat to learn how your federal peers and industry leaders are delivering practical, innovative solutions for today's evolving challenges. You'll learn firsthand how Oracle and its partners are changing the way industries do business, starting with an enterprise cloud without compromise. Register now for Oracle One Federal at oracle.com/onefederal.